Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
I spent 20 years trying to get us ready for this. We used their technology to strengthen our planet. But it won't be enough.
I see them in my dreams. They're coming back.
Today, you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly.
That's the trailer from the movie Independence Day Resurgence. Do you remember when the first one came out back in 1996? The big event in that movie was the White House. Was it the White House or the Capitol building being blown to smithereens and Will Smith riding around in jet fighters and things like that? Well, the new one, the sequel to Independence Day from 1996, Independence Day Resurgence, doesn't have Will Smith. It does have other stars. It's one of those summer movies that you go to see and turn your brain off, suspend your disbelief, and just watch it. We're going to be reviewing it here on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 6th. Pastor Ted Giese will be our guest. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our review of the movie Independence Day, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute will join us. We're going to talk about two issues, female Supreme Court justices and the Texas abortion law that they struck down last week. And a German cardinal has called for apologies to homosexuals. We'll get her reaction to that as well. A little bit later, Dr. Ken Sherb will join us. We continue our weekly series on Martin Luther and the Reformation, part 31, on this Wednesday afternoon. Luther as preacher. Some unexpected things found there in Luther's preaching. And then Mark and Molly Hemingway of the Weekly Standard and the Federalist will join us. We'll get our weekly update on the November elections. You can join us for the next 2 hours with your questions or your comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at @issuesetc or the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us for a review of the movie Independence Day Resurgence, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
As a sequel to what was probably, you know, one of funny sci-fi disaster movies of the 90s, iconic one, how does this one stack up?
I think there's kind of two things going on with that. Like, on the one hand, it's a victim of its own success. When that movie came out originally, the first one, it was a huge, gigantic success. It was a big, epic, tentpole movie, kind of like setting the stage for what we now sort of expect from big, epic movies for summer blockbusters in this kind of modern sense of it. So when you look at it now, like, this movie is kind of in the same grain as that, but where it was standing out above the rest at that time in 1996. Now it's kind of just one among dozens of other movies like it that are all kind of coming out this time of year, so it's kind of not as spectacular as it was. There's that thing going on. The other thing in terms of a sequel is that it's lost all of its surprise. One of the fun things about the first movie was that you, back then particularly, you didn't know where it exactly was completely going all the way through. And the one point where all of a sudden, you know, the guy in charge of the CIA says, oh yeah, actually that Area 51 with the aliens, that's a real thing, we actually have that, and then they go there. There were some twists and stuff like that in the original film that were fun. This one doesn't really have those things, really, because it just doesn't. But it is a fun sequel for people who saw the original film. I think they could get some enjoyment out of it. It's kind of not getting the best reviews, generally speaking, out there. But if you like the first one, you should probably have an okay time with this one.
In the first movie, I just got to ask, the iconic scene, of course, is the White House just being blown to smithereens. And I remember when I watched the movie in the theater back then, the entire crowd cheered. It was that kind of political climate. I don't even remember why, but they cheered to watch the White House blown up. And it was kind of a surprise because it was a picture of kind of suffering defeat. And it wasn't a clean victory. Does this movie have that same kind of, yeah, we win, but it's a Pyrrhic victory?
Well, I guess this time they've rebuilt the Capitol building. I can't remember. I think the White House probably gets wrecked again. But they've rebuilt some of those monuments, right? So this time, I think that it works out that it just doesn't quite destroy the Capitol building this time around. But the end of the movie is certainly one where it sets it up for a third movie, and it's actually been announced that there is going to be a third movie, you know, providing that they make enough money and all that kind of stuff. But Roland Emmerich, who is the director and producer of the film, they've announced that they're making a third one. And it all kind of goes into this kind of idea that now they're going to go out into outer space and, you know, engage the enemy on, you know, its home turf out there someplace. So it's a much more, I suppose, kind of upbeat ending in a way. Like, there's not maybe quite as much aftermath to deal with, although it's kind of a crazy movie. It's just a stupid movie. Like, the alien spacecraft is so huge that it's like, I don't know, it's like a hand picking up a tennis ball or something. It's gigantic next to the planet Earth. It's really weird. But so there's probably a lot of destruction over in Europe, but America fares well in this particular iteration of the story.
Does it have the same kind of comedy? Because the first one, I remember watching it and thinking to myself, I don't know if that was supposed to be a disaster movie or a comedy. And part of it was the fact that Will Smith is a comedic genius, but the other part was it was supposed to be funny at points.
It needed some Will Smith in this one or some other... sort of comedy. It didn't have quite the same amount of comedy in it as the original one had. And, I mean, you do get Judd Hirsch, who older people might remember from the TV show Taxi. He reprises his role again in this movie. But again, he had a couple zingers and little one-liners and stuff in the first film. In this movie, he's not like that. He's more the sage old man kind of a thing. So it's a bit of a different twist on it for him. Not as much, you know, good delivery for comedy, that's for sure.
What is the basic story here based upon the first one?
Well, it's super simple. It's just that 20 years later now, people have rebuilt the leftover technology from the first invasion. They've grabbed hold of that and backwards engineered it and successfully, as far as they were concerned, thought that maybe they had prepared in case some aliens come back again. So now, 20 years later, a distress call has finally reached back to the aliens back wherever they were from, and they have come and, to wreak retribution on the pesky humans that stopped the initial invasion force. So the space alien queen, hive queen, comes with her forces to wipe out humanity, and then they try to stop it. That's basically it, with a little twist that some other beleaguered space alien from out in the universe happens to also have picked up on the distress call and come to help the humans. So So in the end, there's a little bit of help from some additional alien, and that's basically it. In it, you've got your original cast members, some of them returning. Particularly, you get Jeff Goldblum, who played this David Levinson, and I'd mentioned Judd Hirsch, who plays Julius Levinson, this father's son. They return in this movie, so you got them, plus now a younger generation. So the very little children that were in the first movie are now grown adults, and they're fighter pilots, and they're fighting against the enemy as well.
So you say that there is the expletive mention of the deity in this one, but no real serious consideration of, I think if aliens were coming in a planet-sized spaceship to destroy the world and they were very mad at us, the churches would be filled, but that probably, they don't have time for that in a two-hour movie.
Yeah,
what do we see there?
They don't cut to that so much. There's a lot of mention of God Almighty, and Jesus' name gets mentioned quite a bit. But mostly, yeah, these are expletive uses of it. So this is Second Commandment stuff, or it's just like an explanation, like somebody just like blurts it out because they can't believe what they're looking at, kind of a thing. But it's not really done in terms of done in a faithful way. It's not as though these are prayers. There's one point where there's a guy from Africa, sort of maybe looks like he might have crossed himself, but generally speaking, you're not really seeing a lot of positive instances of this in the movie. And then when it does get down to matters of faith, the first one had just a spattering of that kind of stuff in it. Again, that Judd Hirsch's character, Julius Levinson, is kind of like, leads some people in some Hebrew, like some Jewish prayers and stuff at one point in the first movie. This one, you know, he just kind of says to people, you know, you got to have a little faith. And it's kind of more like, you know, be positive. Because it's not, the movie really isn't presenting any particular, not the Jewish, not Muslim, not Christian, not Buddhist, no particular kind of actual faith is presented as concrete. It's just kind of like this politically correct sort of notion of religion that, just everybody get together and have a good old prayer about it together. But they never point out who maybe you should pray to, or what your object of faith might be.
Is it in any sense inspirational? We heard there in the trailer, I presume, some national leader, maybe the president or something, trying to rally the people of the world to fight for their survival.
Yeah, this is, well, not really. I mean, this is Bill Pullman, right? So he's returning now as President Whitmore, but now, you know, it's the election cycle has passed him by. He's no longer president, but he's still President Whitmore. And he's now had a chance now to address the whole world. But these speeches, particularly because you were mentioning before the kind of humor with it, these speeches are kind of almost tongue-in-cheek. Like, they're not maybe as inspirational as, because the whole thing is pretty silly. So it doesn't really get across this idea of inspiration. And during this big speech that he gives, he does say, you know, that he doesn't care what religion or creed, well, he doesn't care what race, nationality, or creed you are, you know, pray. And then it instantly cuts to some Buddhist monks listening to the radio, hearing this address somewhere around in the world. So essentially, it's this call to prayer, but with it's like a letter with no addressee on the letter. You know, where is it going? Who is it to? Doesn't really matter. Not really interested in the particulars about that. So as a Christian viewer watching the movie, you have to think to yourself, you know, okay, I hear the word faith. I see them say pray, but how does that actually fit? Can Christians actually just saddle up next to Buddhists and Muslims and pray the same prayer to the same recipient of the prayer? Like, that is not what Christians would say is actually the case.
Is it worth seeing?
I mean, if you enjoyed the first one and you were interested in seeing it, by now you probably have seen it. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, I don't know, maybe it'll come on at some point and I'll see it. Yeah, give it a shot, give it a whirl. It's not that, you know, it's not a terrible movie. It's not a wonderful movie either. It's not something you have to rush out to go see or anything. But if you enjoyed the first one, you might enjoy this one. But it's also a good opportunity just kind of to think about, you know, when a movie talks about faith, you know, is there an object to that faith? For the Christian, we would say the object to our faith is Christ. So that would be the main thing to think about. But you're going to have a fun time if you can just shut it all off and watch.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. And you can read his review of Independence Day Resurgence at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute talking about two issues to kick it off. The three female Supreme Court justices that, along with others there, overturned a Texas abortion law. Are we talking here about women who represent every woman, or is there elitism at work? We'll answer that question with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse right after this.
Just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google Plus. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.